It's July 2022 and this is video 313. There are some who believe that the threat from COVID is over. Time to relax, wait perhaps for the other shoe to drop, but I'm afraid that sort of complacency is dangerous. I warned over 6 months ago that they hadn't finished with the toxic jab, the masks, the lockdowns, the mass slaughter of the elderly and all the rest of the nonsense which did so much harm in 2020 and 2021. And it's happening. There is much, much more surreal COVID bollocks to come. It ties in neatly with the global warming fraud, the designer war, and the social credit scheme that takes the zombies unblinking into the Great Reset. It's a fraud that's been too useful for them to abandon just yet. It's crucial to remember that persistence is part of the essential process for breaking down both individuals and populations. It's one of the few things that the CIA and the KGB have always agreed on. It's a classic trick. They lull their victims into thinking that the danger is all over. They create a false sense of peace and encourage the beginnings of comfort. And then they're back, like an evil but indestructible baddie in a horror movie. It's how they plan to break your mind. They know that if they pile on enough pressure, they can break most people and pressure them into agreeing to just about anything. The COVID fraud was and is always about fear, because fear breaks people and makes them compliant and ready to do what they're told. And with the aid of greedy, incompetent and breathtakingly stupid doctors and corrupt mainstream media drones, it's a plan that has proved incredibly successful. Every day they're drip-feeding the poison into people's minds. The collaborators who helped push the COVID-19 jabs have been awarded special honours. I half expected to see Chris Whitty and Hillary Jones given damehoods, probably in the autumn. Dame Chris Whitty, Dame Hillary Jones, got a good ring to it. They'll no doubt be over the moon and tickled pink. I warned a year ago that there'd be more deaths than before in 2022. Partly because of the deaths that would result from the lockdowns and the cancelled medical services, and partly because of the deaths caused by the lethal COVID jabs. And so it is coming to pass. The mysterious appearance of defibrillators all over the place a few years ago is now explained, as otherwise healthy people are dropping dead with sudden, unexplained heart attacks. The latest figures from the Office for National Statistics show that there were 1,540 excess deaths in the UK in the week ending June the 24th. Here's what the Daily Telegraph had to say. Health experts have called for an urgent investigation into what is behind the excess mortality. Paul Hunter, professor in medicine at the University of East Anglia, is reported as saying that some of the excess could be people whose health was weakened by COVID. However, Mr. Hunter said other, more complex factors could be at play. It might be down to other impacts of the pandemic, such as problems in accessing healthcare, delayed referrals for treatment, and things related to the restrictions we lived under, such as reduced activity, he said. I think the reality is going to be quite complex, but it's something we need to be aware of and try to understand. We know there's a relationship between excess deaths and deprivation, so maybe the current financial situation we're in is exacerbating that. Full marks, sunshine, you got some of it right. Exactly what I knew and predicted 2 years ago. The lockdowns were going to kill. Either the people planning them had a combined IQ lower than the temperature in December, or they knew the lockdowns would kill millions. But Mr. Hunter seems to have forgotten the COVID jabs, which, the inconvenient statistics prove, are maiming and killing countless thousands. Or maybe the Telegraph just forgot to report that bit, might mess up their cozy relationship with the government and lose them all that lovely advertising money. When I wrote for it, the Telegraph used to be a newspaper. Now they print it for people who want newsprint to line the cat's litter tray. COVID-19, the most toxic, dangerous, deadly drug in the history of the world. Easy to miss, I suppose, unless all those cases of myocarditis and clots and seventh nerve palsy and so on are caused by people eating too much marmalade. Elsewhere, others are puzzling over the mysteries. Lots of people who were jabbed and still getting the flu the flu that they renamed COVID are dying. How could that be? They ask themselves, desperately looking the other way in case they spot the truth by mistake. And every day they work hard at getting us used to the idea that sudden deaths are no longer rare. People, including children, are dropping like flies of strokes and heart attacks. They're even using years-old stories of people suddenly dropping dead to try to convince us that it's normal for children and young people to drop dead without any warning. But what could it be? Have aliens put something into the drinking water? Are people collapsing and dying because there's nothing good on the telly? Are people having heart attacks and strokes because they're enraged by the many ways in which journalists and doctors avoid blaming the toxic experimental jabs, which have now been approved for five-year-olds and which Pfizer think are fine for six-month-old babies? Anyone who has the COVID-19 jab in the future deserves what they get. They're too stupid to live. I have no patience anymore. Not with them. Anyone who promotes or gives the COVID-19 jab is a murderer, plain and simple. The side effects from this evil concoction just go on and on. A recent study suggested that it isn't just female fertility that could be affected by the COVID jab. The study showed a notable decrease in sperm concentration, possibly as a result of systemic immune response to vaccination. It's all unknown, which is not surprising, because this is a bloody experiment and the long-term consequences are not known. That's why it's an experiment. The authorities, who've lied consistently for 2.5 years, are now claiming that COVID-19 is again a serious threat, and they're encouraging the elderly to bare their arms and have the COVID-19 booster jab. Or is it the booster jab? I've lost count. Other age groups, including children, are also being given the jab. Individuals who are encouraged to allow themselves to be jabbed are often assured that no serious side effects are known with the COVID-19 jabs. Devi Sridhar on the BBC said the jab is 100% safe. Safe in just the same way that lying down on the fast lane of the M4 is 100% safe. Any medical doctor on the television who tells a patient that no side effects are known with the COVID-19 jab should be reported to the authorities and should have their license to breathe permanently removed. Indeed, I would go further. Since we know that the COVID-19 jab does not stop anyone getting COVID-19 and doesn't stop them spreading it if they do get it, but that it can nevertheless produce serious and potentially lethal side effects, I believe that any doctor still giving the COVID-19 jab and not warning patients about the very real dangers should be arrested for fraud and for assault. When a doctor uses a patient in a trial, it is their legal responsibility to tell the patient what is happening. That's why 290,000 odd doctors in the UK will end up using their wound suturing skills to sew mailbags. The world, it seems, is uncomfortably full of folk who, emboldened by the invincibility of wanton ignorance and unlimited hubris, are ready, willing and able, for an appropriate fee, I have no doubt, to share their lunacies with compliant and oh too gullible audiences, those of us daring to tell the truth are banned, suppressed, censored and demonised. Of course, Ms. Sridhar, by the way, isn't a medical doctor. Maybe even the BBC couldn't find a doctor to tell the world that any vaccine is 100% safe. We've known since the latter part of 2020 that the COVID-19 jab can cause many serious side effects in the short term, within days or weeks of a patient being injected. I dealt with these known short-term dangers in a series of videos which I released 18 months ago, most notably a video entitled COVID-19 Vaccine Possible Side Effects, which was released on the 8th of December 2020. I listed possible side effects as including Guillain-Barré syndrome, meningitis, strokes, myocarditis, blood problems and death. The information I gave was based on a list the authorities had released in the United States. That video is still available on www.vernoncolman.org. But what really long-term effects are possible? What could happen in 5 or 10 years' time to those who've been given the COVID-19 jab? Well, giving a drug is always an experiment, even when the drug has been used for many years. Giving a new drug increases the risk because there are more unknown dangers. It's well known that some drug problems only become apparent after the drug, and a vaccine is a drug, have been used for years. To help patients make a decision about whether or not to be given the COVID-19 jab, I've compiled a list of everything we know for certain about the long-term effects. Will there be any long-term neurological effects? Sorry, no one knows, and they won't know for years. Will there be any long-term cardiac effects? Well, there's a real risk of short-term effects, myocarditis and so on, but your guess is as good as anyone else's about the long-term effects. Will there be any long-term effects on fertility? Well, I'm afraid the answer to that's the same. No one will know the definitive answer until women and young girls who've been jabbed eventually try to get pregnant. And if they have kids, maybe if those kids try to get pregnant, and there could be problems with sperm as well. Will there be any long-term effects on the immune system? Will those who've been jabbed be more susceptible to infection? Well, they almost certainly already are. Heaven knows what the long-term will be like. Will patients who've been jabbed be more likely to develop cancer? Well, I'm afraid the answer to that is that we won't know the answer to that for another 10 or 15 years. Will any children who may be produced by those who've been jabbed be more susceptible to disease? I'm afraid we won't know the answer to that for several decades. As I've explained before, we do know that it's possible for a drug given to a patient to produce serious problems in the next generation. But we don't know whether this will be a problem with the COVID-19 jab. Will there be any long-term endocrine or hematological problems among those who've been given the COVID-19 jab? I don't know. Nobody else does either. Will patients who've taken other drugs or have other vaccinations be at risk if they have the COVID-19 jab? In other words, will the COVID-19 jab prove to be compatible with other drugs in the long term? There isn't a soul on the planet who knows. Will any of the COVID-19 jabs have any genetic effect on those who take them? Could there be any adverse effects on future generations? I don't know. No point looking at me. Nobody else knows either. It's not looking good, to be honest. I'm afraid that all advisers, doctors, journalists, or fact-checkers who say any different to all that are fools or liars or both. Sir Chris Whitty, Lord High Executioner and Master of the Queen's Leeches, can't answer all those questions, nor can His Highness Sir Anthony Fauci, Commander-in-Chief and Groom of the Biden Backstairs, nor even, I regret to say, can His Lordship, the poobah of the small screen, Dame Hillary Jones, though he knows someone who'll flog you a hearing aid or a nice set of sleep-enhancing curtains for the right price. I remember when doctors would get struck off for flogging things. Distant days. The BBC, pathetically loyal to its evil masters and unerringly disloyal to the British people, has now arranged a special programme about the COVID-19 jabs. The programme will apparently be presented by a mathematician, which reminds me of where we came in 2.5 years ago with the Imperial College gang, the ones who designed a coffee mug but put the handle on the inside and the opening at the bottom. The BBC plans to bring together 7 unvaccinated individuals to explain why they haven't been jabbed. They will come face to face with people the BBC describes as leading experts. Confronting the latest science and statistics and dissecting how misinformation spreads on social media. That's the BBC's quote. But, and you'll be surprised by this, they forgot to ask me to take part, even though I was the first medically qualified doctor to describe COVID as a hoax and a fraud, the first to warn about the danger of compulsory vaccinations, the first to reveal that the government knew in March 2020 that COVID was no more dangerous than the flu, and indeed is just the rebranded flu. Maybe the BBC would like to set up a matching programme. Sit down 7 vaccinated individuals and I'll explain to them why and how they were tricked and lied to and how their health has been put at risk. The BBC has to hurry though, or they'll have difficulty finding 7 vaccinated people who aren't in the morgue. For the last 2.5 years, I've been right about lockdowns and about everything else. The government, the BBC and the mainstream media have been consistently wrong, and I suspect the BBC is now just simply terrified of the truth. Why else wouldn't the BBC want me anywhere near a studio to discuss what they call a vaccine? My book on vaccines, Anyone Who Tells You Vaccines Are Safe and Effective Is Lying, Here's the Proof, is the biggest selling vaccine book in the world, which you might think, make me some sort of expert. More of an expert, perhaps, than some of the Shridhars they talk to. Oh no, they'd rather have mathematicians and other experts to talk about medical stuff. Here's a joke. Long before I was lied about in the media and on the internet and became a discredited conspiracy theorist, the BBC used to hire me as a presenter. I was breakfast TV doctor on TVAM, and the BBC made TV programmes based on my book Body Power. I made countless radio series for the BBC too. Now they're terrified, frightened to let me into a studio because they know I can convince people with facts that show that for 2.5 years the BBC's been telling lies and spreading misinformation. And as far as I know, they forgot to ask anyone else who knows why no one should accept the COVID jab to take part. Cowardice, perhaps? Maybe they didn't want to upset their financial partner, Bill Gates, Jeffrey Epstein's other little chum. If Epstein weren't dead, the BBC would give him his own chat show, maybe co-presenting with Jimmy Savile, or maybe something on children's television. But what's the betting they have Ms. Devi Sridhar on their new programme? She's the one who announced on the BBC, of course, that the COVID jab's 100% safe, apart from little niggly things like maybe your arm might be a bit sore. In January this year, she announced to the world that if all adults were vaccinated who were offered it, the pandemic would be over. She said that ICUs are full of people who chose not to get vaccinated, then regret it later. Is that fair to doctors and nurses, she said, and to those who need care for heart attacks and other life-threatening conditions? She added, if she did a little more research, she might find that hospitals were full of people who'd been vaccinated and regretted. The BBC, a financial partner of Bill Gates, did I mention the BBC is a financial partner of Bill Gates? The friend of Jeffrey Epstein, and Bill Gates being the man whose polio vaccine seems to be spreading polio around, never allows vaccine critics onto its programmes. The BBC policy is to keep the truth out of its programmes at all costs. Please, please, don't pay the licence fee. Do it legally, but don't give money to the BBC. It would be like giving poison to Dr. Crippen. Still, even now that I've been widely banned, my websites and videos still reach many millions, and that annoys them not a little. The truth is that lots of people are beginning to realise that all this is a load of rubbish. The PCR test is about as much use as sticking a piece of spaghetti up your nose. Thousands of employers realise that the test is utterly worthless and now expect their staff to keep on working even if they've tested positive. Every day, another celebrity is reported as being off sick because they've tested positive. No one needs to be off sick because they've tested positive. They're off sick because they've tested positive with a test, which is about as much use as a promise from Boris Johnson. The COVID jab is already being given to 5-year-olds. In America, they're pumping the stuff into 6-month-old babies, and they'll be doing that in the UK and everywhere else. Pfizer says it's safe, so that's okay. Even though I believe that Pfizer has for decades been one of the most dishonest, greedy and crooked companies in the world. How could I possibly say that if I didn't honestly believe it to be true? All Pfizer's executives and former executives should be locked up for 80 years to life. They must have known what sort of company it was. Did they not know, for example, that Pfizer was fined 84 and a bit million quid for overcharging the NHS by a mere 2,600%? Did they somehow miss the news that Pfizer was hit by a $2.3 billion fine for mispromoting medicines and paying kickbacks to doctors? Pfizer had a tranquilizer that it recommended to be used by children, with an illustration of a young girl with a tear-stained face and a suggestion that the drug could alleviate fears of, quote, school, the dark, separation, dental visits and monsters, close quotes. Am I the only person to wonder if Pfizer knew all the time that the COVID jab they were flogging was useless and dangerous? Glory be! Huge profits and damehoods all round. Pfizer's been a nasty company for decades. Listen to this from my book The Medicine Men, which was published in 1975. Open quotes. In 1961, the British Minister of Health decided that Pfizer were charging too much for their tetracycline, and he took the unusual step of invoking the Patents Act and importing drugs from Italy, close quotes. 60 years of greed and deceit. If you worked there, you'd know, wouldn't you? Even if you just polished the chairman's shoes, you'd well know what sort of a company it was. Government hacks and the mainstream media will all fall in line. More damehoods all round, free peerages all round. The government says that 2.7 million people had COVID or had tested positive for it now that the weather's so nice. Huge numbers are staying away from work because of a PCR test. Because the weather's so nice. The NHS is reported to be struggling. The weather's nice. Companies can't cope. The elderly are being urged to have more jabs or to commit suicide, which is much the same thing. We're warned that the highly dangerous Marburg virus is on the rampage. Two people in Ghana, apparently, so that's something else to worry about. There are 300,000 doctors registered in the UK, which rather leads to the thought, how can anyone say there's a shortage? The top-earning GP makes over 700,000 quid a year, and umpteen thousand doctors made between 50 grand and 100 grand extra each by giving toxic jabs that don't work to gullible patients. Around 99% of those doctors broke the law by not warning patients that they were taking part in a trial, which they were, and that there are serious side effects associated with the jabs. Where's the General Medical Council when doctors need looking at? Of those 300,000 doctors, I would guess that less than 100 have the courage or the knowledge to speak out against the lies being told about COVID, and that's a generous estimate. So there are 299,900 doctors in the UK who are either clinically insane or completely dishonest. None of the doctors who supported the official line on COVID is fit to practice. As I've been saying for 18 months, the doctors who gave COVID-19 jabs, which they should have known don't work but are dangerous, should be struck off the medical register for life, and they should be arrested for assault. Those doctors have been criminally negligent for maintaining a lie and profiting by giving a deadly injection, and complicit in the greatest fraud in history. Everything I've said is true. The evidence is in all my videos, and although the videos which are on YouTube were removed by the government-approved anti-truth censors, the transcripts are all on my website. Not one person has been directly damaged by any of the doctors who've spoken out against the COVID fraud. On the other hand, untold thousands have been killed or made ill by the lies which have been told by those parroting the official party line. Predictably, the NHS is now going to enforce mask wearing again because they claim that COVID hospital infections have risen 100% and staff are having to take time off work. What they probably mean by this is that the number of tests has gone up 100%, and that's because they're doing more tests, maybe 100% more tests. What a coincidence that this is happening just as the nice weather is here. Oh, bugger. The thing I stuck up my nose, they say, shows I'm poorly. I'd better stay at home. I've got COVID. I've just got the strength to put a deck chair out in the garden. Have we got any ice cream in the freezer? Does anyone in the National Health Service not care that the PCR tests have been proven not to work? Do they not care that masks don't work but are seriously dangerous? They cause bacterial pneumonia and a dozen other serious problems. They accelerate the spread of cancer. The evidence is overwhelming. And if the horde of NHS administrators who now seem to be running healthcare don't know that masks are useless and dangerous, then they should be sacked after being hung, drawn and quartered. If they do know, then they should be arrested and locked up for attempted murder. A baby with a mask covering its entire face was described in The Independent as the hero we need. The bottom line, I fear, is that the conspirators have lots of other evil things going on, destroying the global economy, building up World War III, the global warming scam, social credit, compulsory and intrusive apps for everything, and so on, soaring food prices, fuel rationing, rapidly increasing death rates, hundreds of millions in Africa and Asia starving to death. Not that Black Lives Matter seem to care. But they haven't given up on COVID, the rebranded flu. There's still some mileage in their favourite fraud, carefully designed to terrify and destroy the minds of the masses. And the collaborators, working in healthcare and the media, are, as always, desperate to help. In the end, it's all about the money. Billions to be spread around on fees for giving jabs, on fees for writing articles that stink, on money for advertising, on selling deadly masks, and all the rest of the useless paraphernalia. Make no mistake about it, jabs and masks are coming back big time. There's a lot of killing yet to be done. The designer war in Ukraine will push up fuel and food prices and will kill hundreds of millions in Asia and Africa. Will kill hundreds of millions in Asia and Africa, starving to death, and kill millions in the West. But why not keep going with a winning fraud as well, a fraud that terrifies and weakens and kills? And how long before they add to our misery with some nice, tough, well-policed, deadly lockdowns for MPs to ignore? Remember, there are still far too many of us left alive. There are nearly 7 billion left to kill. But I can offer a cheering thought. Governments and the mainstream media have been exaggerating for and lying for 30 months. I leave you with this new scientific fact that they haven't mentioned. The events in the men's competition at Wimbledon proved without any doubt that the not vaccinated are healthier and better at tennis than those who are foolish enough to allow themselves to be jabbed. The study may be a small one, though no doubt larger than some of those conducted by pharmaceutical companies, but it has the distinct advantage of being accurate and incontestable by the bought and paid-for fact-checkers or the 22,000 overpaid witless morons flattening their bums at the BBC. Thank you for watching An Old Man in a Chair. Please spread my videos about on other platforms, such as BitChute. My thanks to everyone who does this. Please do translations too. For the record, this channel has not been monetized. None of my videos ever has been, because I don't want ads on my videos. There are no ads, no sponsors, and no requests for funds on my websites. Don't forget to watch my friend Dr. Colin Barron's amazing videos, which are always pertinent and always entertaining. Read the Light Paper and visit thelightpaper.co.uk. Please visit my own websites, vernoncolman.org and vernoncolman.com, which are now pretty well completely banned in Africa. There's a surprise. Just as they're killing hundreds of millions in Africa, they stop people watching the truth. There are free articles and new stuffs added most days on my websites. Remember, too, I'm banned from all social media. Anything you see with my name on it on Facebook, Telegram, LinkedIn, Twitter, or anywhere else is fake and should be reported. I'm banned from YouTube as well, of course. Finally, although it may feel like it at times, please remember that you're not alone. More and more people are waking up, and once they're awake, they don't go back to sleep. We're already a far, far bigger force than the conspirators would have you believe. Over a third of the populations of the United States and the UK haven't had a single COVID jab, despite what they say. If we're going to win this war, then we have to fight hard and with determination and with passion and with the truth. Distrust the government, avoid mass media, and fight the lies. And remember, we have God on our side. Thank you for watching An Old Man in a Chair.